Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon. Chapter 2, we'll begin reading in verse 8. Verse 8. And the voice of my beloved. Behold, he cometh leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. My beloved is like a roe or a young hart. Behold, he standeth behind our wall. He looketh forth at the windows, showing himself through the lattice. My beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth, the time of the singing of the birds has come, and the voice of the turtle dove is heard in our land. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vine with the tender grapes give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. O my dove, thou art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs. Let me see thy countenance, let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is company. Let's pray for a moment. Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for your presence, for your word, for all that you do. You're so faithful. There's not anything the enemy can do to stop your faithfulness, Lord. We thank you for everything you do for us. And we ask, God, that you would just allow us just to speak your word tonight. Pray, God, that you'd come and just open up our understanding, our ability to speak. Lord, that you would anoint it. Lord, we don't claim to be able to do these things ourselves, but we totally trust in you to know that it comes from you. It must come from you, Lord. So we pray, God, that you would give glory to yourself. And ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Praise the Lord. Tonight I want to title this Pursuing After God. Amen. You know, the scriptures talk about, and you hear the saying from the scriptures, that the heart is desperately wicked, and who can know it? Right, and when I read that, or when I think about that, I think about that a man can have wickedness inside him and not even realize it. Even he can't know it. Sometimes there's things laying in there that's just not right, and it would take God to be able to address and to speak to that man and to show him and bring those things out so that he could be free from them. And there's also, the scripture said, there's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end there was death. Everybody's got their own opinion. Everybody's got, well, here's the way it should be, or here's the way it should be. Everybody's got an idea about what's right, what's this, and what's that, and what's God, and what's not God, and all those things. But the scripture says that the end thereof is death. See, let every man's word be a lie, but God's word is true, right? And you've heard me say this before, but I'll bear it out again, that if you're speaking the word of God, it's not your word, it's God's word. If you're speaking something different than God's word, then it's your word and it's a lie, because it's not truth, because it's contrary to the word. So that's really a simple scripture, but it's the truth, that every man's word is a lie, but God's word is the only one that's true. And so no matter what opinion people have about whatever, it's all lies if it doesn't come out from the word of God. And so want to kind of remember that as we talk about these things tonight, pursuing after God. So, you know, the Christian walk, obviously, is a walk of faith. And because it is a walk of faith, God doesn't show you everything all at once. Matter of fact, there's lots of things he may not even show you all the time that you're on this earth, and you'd be gone from this earth, and maybe things that he wouldn't show you. But he doesn't make it such to where you don't have to have faith. He leaves it in that way. And so if you really think about if a woman really loves a man, then, you know, she will pursue him. She'll want to know more about him and so forth. And so maybe he might step back and just see. Well, let's see what she'll do. I'll not call her tonight and see what she'll do. Maybe see if she really loves me. She'll be knocking on my door, right? You understand the concept there. So he doesn't show us everything at once. He hides himself from us purposely. We just read there. He looks down and he looks through the lattice. And you know what lattice is? It's that crisscrossy stuff like out here. But you can see part of him through it, but you can't see everything, right? He does that on purpose. He hides himself in the cleft of the rocks and so forth, and maybe let you hear his voice sometime, but not all the time, right? And so that to let you walk through places maybe that's dry where you're wondering where he's at, and then you have those good times again. And so, and I think he does those things like that because he wants to see how much you're willing to pursue him. How much are you willing to put everything else in this world to the side that you might come after him? Because listen, he's the only one worthy. And if our life is all tied up in something other than him, what a shame that would be, because he deserves greater than that. So I believe he does these things because he wants us to pursue after him. And so that's what we're talking about tonight. So in order to pursue after him, you have to pursue after him. Not someone else, not something else. You have to know him. You have to know who he is. You have to pursue after him. You can't pursue after a shadow or after some other person and be getting to him. If you want to go to the courthouse, you can't get there by going to the store. And if you want to pursue after the Lord, you have to pursue him and not something else. Not somebody else's idea of who the Lord is or how to pursue the Lord. But you have to truly find what God's will is. Because remember, every man's word is life. Find God's will is and pursue after God through that channel that he has shown to be truth. And so we want to pursue after him. And he is the word. He is the word of the living God. He is the word. God is his own word. And so remember, it was St. John who had the revelation of the word. You read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They were all would testify and witnesses to the things that happened. But it was John the Revelator, which is a type of the bride. He's the one that wrote, "In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and was God." And he would became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, and that which was from the beginning, that which we beheld, which is the word of life. He was the one that said those things, because you understand, John had a revelation of Jesus Christ that all the rest of them didn't have, right? And because he's a type of the bride. So that tells you, the bride sees Jesus Christ as something different than just some guy that walked up and down the shores of Galilee. Not just somebody that will save us from our sins and so forth, but she sees him as the living word, and she recognizes him as her husband. And that's why those things are in the scriptures like that. He knows and has a revelation that others did not have. So, obviously, John will know what to pursue because he knows he's the word. He knows he's the living word. People think about Jesus, but they don't think about him being the living word today, revealing himself that we must pursue after. They think of some guy that, oh yeah, I wonder if he had long, if he had red hair, what kind of hair did he have, or whatever, how tall was he, or whatever, what did he look like? That's what they think of, right? There's a reason why in the scriptures where God said don't make graven images and so forth, right? Because they all have their own idea, right? But he's a living God, and so a lot of people will want to pursue after God, but they're pursuing after something that's man-made. A lot of them, when people want to, you talk to people and they go to church and the different things like that, and you find out they don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. A lot of them will go after, and their idea of finding God is, well, I guess I'll go to church and I'll sign my name on their books. I'll have a membership, and that makes me a Christian. Used to work with a fellow like that. He said, oh, I'm saved. You smoke and drink and cuss and lust after women. I'm saved because when I was a kid in my church, I asked God to forgive me and got baptized, and that's it. I'm done. And he believed that. Right? It was his own idea. See, but you know that's not right. So, and so anyway, some people look for a membership, and to them, that's finding God, right? A membership of a church, or a lot of them will want to study the Bible and become some a Bible person who knows, a theologian or whatever like that, and they think that's God, just to know it by the letter. And so, but Scripture says the letter killeth, but it's the Spirit that gives life. And so a lot of people, when they want to pursue after God, that's what they do. They chase after a doctorate degree in theology or something like that. Others will, they chase after a sensation. They want to go, and their idea of finding God is that they get into a service until the hair stands up on the back of their neck, and they found God. Right? You understand what I'm saying? And some people just chase after the gifts of the Spirit, and so forth. So all these people have this idea about, oh, this is God. I felt it, you know. I had a guy tell me one time, he's talking about a woman preacher. He said, don't tell me. He said, she can preach better than any man. Right? And so, God was in that, right? Because she got him excited. See, and that was proof to him. That's God. You see the fallacy in that? And so, all of that to me, in my way of looking at it, all of that is idolatry. And that may sound like a very strong statement, but to me, that's idolatry. And if you remember, Brother Branham talked about idolatry, and he said, idolatry, you know, Christianity versus idolatry. Go listen to it. It'd be a good sermon to listen to. But he's talking about, in idolatry, these idol worshipers or whatever, they will form or build or carve out of stone or out of wood or something like that. They'll carve out an image of what they think their God looks like, or what they think would represent God. They'll carve that out, and then they believe that God meets them through that image that they've carved out. Right? They put that up, they bow down, they worship before it, and they think that we've been ever so sincere. We've meticulously carved this out, and we know this is what God looks like, because I felt chills whenever we come up with the idea to do this, and we know this is God. And so they do that, and they're convinced that God is that He will work through and speak through and lives through that image. And so they pray to it, and they believe. Brother Branham said they believe. Sometimes they believe that they hear God speak from that image. And he said, I don't doubt that they believe that. But here's the whole thing. God said, don't you try to make something look like me. Right? Don't make something looks like him. And so they try and make something looks like him, and they believe that God works through that. And all that is just a man-made channel that they're trying to get to God. And it's idolatry. God does not accept it. And so, but you know, it doesn't have to be a stone image. It doesn't have to be one made out of wood. It can be a system. It can be a belief system. It can be a church system, a creed or a dogma. It can be a mindset. It can be an idea that somebody has. That we create these ideas that, oh, God, this is where God will meet us. And he comes right through that, and I know it's right. And everybody else has got to come to that if they want to find God. They got to come to that image, to that thing they've created. They'll all tell you, oh, you're lost if you go to that church. You got to come to this one. They tell Brother Branham stuff like that. Do you believe someone telling Brother Branham, well, if their name's on our books, they're lost? He said, what? That's not the grace of God. But they believe those things. Oh, why? Because it's something they formed, and they're religious. But they think that God speaks through those things, and it's nothing but idolatry. And man has created denominational systems and ideas and all those things, and expect God to come and meet them through that? I don't think so. I know better. God doesn't have to paddle in any of our boats, right? We have to paddle in His. And so it's just nothing but idolatry. They think that God speaks through that. God is the living God. I could say a living, but he is the living God. He's the only one that is living. He's the only one with eternal life. And so he is the living God. And he is not stone. He's not rigid. You know, if you take and carve an image and put up here, and every one of you can come and you can see the same image, have the same experience over and over and over, come in every time, it's always the same, because it's not moving. It's not pliable. It's rock solid. This is the way God works, and it's always this way. If it doesn't come this way, it's not God. Now, here in this church back in Pentecost, seeing a young lady that was in and out of church, in and out of church, in and out of church. Finally, one day she was in church, and she spoke in tongues at the altar, first time. And one of the elders of the church raised up and looked back and said, if you didn't get it that way, you didn't get it God's way. Idolatry. Idolatry. Because God can and does have the gifts of tongues and speaking in tongues. But their idea in Pentecost was, if you don't come this way, then you don't come God's way. And the problem is it's contrary to the Word. Because the Word does not tell us that tongues is evidence. It tells us opposite of that. Because I read it the other day. Do all speak in tongues? Do all prophesy? Are all apostles? And you know the answer to that. No, they're not all. And that's Apostle Paul. And remember, this foundation of a Gentile church is built on what Paul laid as a foundation. And if we try to preach something different than Paul, we're not on that foundation. Then we're not good. Then we're not even Christians. We're something else. And so God is a living God, and he's not just some fixed something that everybody has the same experience. I walk up, I see the stone, I see the same thing, and you know, I touch it, it feels the same, and everybody has the same experience over and over. Every time you come, it's always the same. God's not like that. God's a living God. He's not some rigid something that man has made. We don't serve God through repetition. Even though we might do things that are repetitious as we serve God, as we seek after God. We come to church all the time. You say, look at those are so people are so repetitious. They come to church every Sunday and every Wednesday. And that is repetition. But we're not trying to meet God in that. We don't say, oh, if we don't go to church on Wednesday night, we're lost. See what I'm saying? God is not like that. He's not rigid. And so we do all kinds of things that are repetitious in serving the Lord, but that's not the channel that we're finding God in. We don't seek him that way. We seek God by seeking a relationship with this living God. Not just repetitious things, doing this, doing that, paying your tithes, coming to church always on time. You know, all that is fine. But you can have all that and not have a relationship with God. So a relationship is reciprocated, right? A reciprocation between you and God. And so we seek after God as for a relationship with him, a God who's found in his word. This is where you find him. You know, you find him in his word. You find him doing today what he said he would do today. That's where you find him. If there's a promise in his word of something for this hour, you'll find God in that promise doing in this hour what he said he would do in this hour. You can't go find him doing something else from some other day. And you might think so. Your denomination might think that that's okay and this is God. But he is, remember Jesus said, who do men say that I am? Right? Thou art Christ, the living God. And so God reveals that to his people. And so we're seeking after a relationship with God. And we find him in his word, but not just the letter of the word, but we find him that he speaks back from his word. He speaks back into our lives with manifestations in our life, with him confirming his presence, confirming his word, doing the things he said. And it's a reciprocation we have between him. You know, Brother Bram said, God hates a powerless religion, right? God hates a powerless religion. Religion means covering. But a powerless religion is one that cannot help you. One that cannot do you any good, cannot change you, cannot heal you, cannot save you, correct you, lead you, guide you, comfort you. A powerless religion. And think about it. Why would somebody want to worship in a way where there's nothing that comes back and shows that God's in it? Just blind following things because that's the tradition of their church or tradition of whatever. God hates a powerless religion that can't do these things because without Him, they can't do those things. They cannot save you, change you, quicken you, remove something out of your life. There are things, like Brother Bram talked about smoking. It's a devil. He talked about it. I listened to it this week. To two different brothers, both of them sincere brothers. Both of them wanted to preach the gospel. One of them had smoked several packs a day, one right after another. And when he gave his heart to the Lord, he went to try and light up a cigarette and couldn't. And he took the pack and threw it in the stove and never smoked again in his life. The other fella had the same determination and went berserk trying to quit and couldn't quit. Brother Bram talked about both of them. He said, because it takes God to deliver you. It takes God to deliver you from things. And these devils of pornography and drinking, alcohol, and lust, and all that stuff, it's devils, and people cannot deliver themselves from those things. If you're hearing this and you have any of those issues, you just remember God is the only one that can truly set you free, and He will. If you come to Him sincerely and 100% saying, God, take this from me so I can serve you, He'll do it. And man, I know that. He will do that. I used to smoke, believe it or not. I did. There's people in here that know that. But God set me free of it. And man, I'm so glad. I wished I'd have been free of it 10 years earlier. But He set me free of it. Amen? And so, without Him, you can't get freedom from those things. Self-help books and things like that, they don't do any good. You know, you might think you get free from something in some case here or there, but truly it takes God to set you free. So we're seeking God. We seek God in a companionship. Like I said, He's found in His Word, and He speaks back and performs in our life the things that He promised in His Word. To come in this hour and set us free from Babylon, to call us out of her, come out of her, my people, and give us a message and actually do that. To get us out to where we're no longer bound by religious denominational teachings and confusions, but we come out into the clarity of the Word. And so we seek for a relationship with this Word that I'm talking about. One that you know that in your heart you have fallen in love with, thus saith the Lord. You've fallen in love with the Word, and you long to hear His voice, as we read there. We long to see His face. We long to hear from Him, to experience His presence, hear His voice speak. When we talk about, give us this day our daily bread, our daily bread is to hear the voice of God speak in our heart, speak to our soul from His Word. Because He just speaks, and it's like gives you a burst of energy and joy, and you can rise up and go for however long the journey is, just because you've heard from the Lord, because you've fellowship with Him, because you've felt Him move into your heart with the confirming of His Word and so forth. And I say, we say feeling, but it, beyond feeling, amen, into a revelation. And so we long for that. A Christian, if you're a Christian, you want that. You go through a day or two without hearing from the Lord, you start getting worried. You know, and like I said, but He wants you to pursue after Him, to seek after Him. And it's those times when He's silent that you want to talk to Him even more, right? And so a relationship, we said, well, it was, is reciprocation. It's a communication both ways. We're to pray. We talk to the Lord, and there should be a reciprocation that comes back where you know that He hears you and you're hearing Him, and there's a reciprocating relationship going on there that feeds you, leads you, guides you, corrects you, and you see it doing things that you know you can't do yourself. That is how we seek after God, following after those things. We don't seek after Him in all kinds of religious things. We long to see him glorified. We're not interested as Christians, we're not interested in seeing ourselves glorified. I mean, yeah, we want a body change in that way, but I'm not interested in standing up here and you saying, oh, Brother Tony's such a man of God. I'm not interested in that. I'm interested in seeing God glorified, seeing God's word brought to pass in your life and in your presence and amongst this people, him leading us and guiding us and preparing us. That's what my desire is to see him. And so we look for those things. We're not trying to build some building or build some institute and let that be what people come to and say, oh, we found God because we go to this particular church. That is idolatry to me. Amen. So we don't tell people, well, if you come here and you do such and such, then you'll have God. Or if you come over here and do this, then you'll find God. Remember the scripture said, Jesus said, when they would say to you, behold, he's in the desert, don't go. He's over here in this secret place over here, don't go, right? Because he said, they're going to rise up in the end time, and they're going to tell you, oh, this is where God is, this is the move of God, and over here's the move of God. And he said, that's not the way it's coming. The coming of the Son of Man is like the light that shines from the east to the west. That's the sun rises in the east and sets in the west. The gospel started in the Middle East and it migrated westward. And when it got to the United States, to the west coast of the United States, it can't go any further until it would go back east again. And so in the west, where the sun sets in the west, and at evening time there shall be light. But it would be a day of gloominess, right? And so it's talking about the coming of the Son of Man. He comes as a message, as the gospel message that started in the Middle East, and it's moved to the west, and now in the west coast, Sunset Mountain, and a sunset message, there's the coming of the Son of Man right there. Don't go off over here and say, well, it's this brother, it's this brother, it's this ministry, it's off over here, it's go. That's all nonsense. Jesus said, don't do that, because that's not the way he comes. And so we have to pursue after him the way he came. And the way he came was through a vindicated voice, a vindicated word, which I just said, we long to hear his voice. We long to see him, right? Hear his voice, see his face, see his shape, see him manifested. And he has come the way he said he would come. He's not even, his feet aren't even going to come and touch this earth until after you and I are gone. We meet him in the air, right? So the world, he's not going to come here like they're thinking, like that. We're gonna meet him, but he comes in the revelation of his word. I've been pondering on this a little bit. Think about this. So the word of the Lord, you know, like, oh, it's word. We hear it, right? We hear the word. But the scripture said the word of the Lord came to the prophet in a vision. So you mean we can see words? I thought we hear words. But with God, words creates vision. And with vision, you can see word. Right? Brother Rem said, oh, I see it. You hear somebody say, oh, I see it. What they mean is, I understand it. I see it. You've heard something. You comprehend it. I see it. And so with God, seeing and hearing is the same thing. Right? So to see him coming is to hear that voice, hear that word declaring that he's here. And when you hear that voice and that word declaring it, then you see it. So you're beholding your bridegroom, even though it's not real clear. You're looking through the lattice. He lets you see things from revelation from time to time, from this service to that service. And sometimes you don't see things, but a lot of times you do. That is the coming of the Lord here present through an end time message, letting you see him, letting you hear him, which is one and the same, seeing and hearing. Amen? And so, we don't tell people, well, if you come here and if you'll come right to this aisle right here and you'll walk up there and you'll rub it, you know, and say a prayer, you've found God. We don't tell people, oh, if you come to this church, you'll find God. That's not, even though they could come here and they could find a relationship, but coming to the building is not finding God. Right? Coming through repetition. Jesus said, don't use vain repetitions. The heathens, the idol worshipers, the heathens, They do those things because they think they are heard from their much speaking, right? Over and over and over and over, we'll say these things over and over. And what do they do at Pentecost? Repeat after me, over and over and over and over and over. So you start speaking in tongues? Trying to coax someone to speaking in tongues? Vain repetition. I mean, listen, this idolatry and this thing that Satan has done throughout the ages is real. And it's come all the way down into what people would think would be the cream of the crops. And yet, in all that, there's a truth. There is an appearing and a coming of the Lord here that we, as the bride, can see. And during that time, as we've seen in the Scriptures, He says to us, arise. Arise, my fair one. Right? Come away. Come away. Men. We don't put God in a box. Some people say, and I'm a people watcher, okay? And I've watched people for years. I've watched them, and you say, Brother Tony, you should be paying attention to the sermon in church. Well, I watch people, and I watch to see how they respond to the word. And I suppose, I guess all ministers do. I don't know, but I do. And I watch, and I see how they respond, and I see how long they respond, and I watch what they respond to and what they don't respond to. Because we inspect, you know, we inspect fruit and so forth. And so I watch that, and I see there are people. If you don't preach a fiery evangelistic message, they don't feel like God spoke at all. And you can read right from the Word and quote the prophet, and they think they have put God in a box. Because He's got to speak that way, and if it's not that, then it's not God. And then you got people who think, oh, that man's he's too much full of emotions. You know? He's got to be some intellectual something, some teaching something or whatever. Has to be that, and if it wasn't that, then it's just emotion, and that's not God. And what are they doing? They're putting God in a box. God is a living God, and He can come and He can speak through an evangelistic service, and He can speak through a quiet teaching. He does what He wants because He's not a rock solid image. He'll live the way He wants, express Himself the way He wants, and we must meet Him in the way that He expresses Himself rather than some, oh, it's got to be this way or it's got to be that. We have people in message churches that, they won't receive it if it doesn't come from their certain man that certain preacher that they want, you know. Oh, if you don't come to this church, then you're not in it. And you know that's the truth. That's exactly, those have been in the message for all you know. Mm-hmm. And all that is just nonsense. They put God into a box, but God is not an idol. We seek and serve Him and for a personal relationship, one that reciprocates into us as a communication both ways. You think about a husband or wife. And if one of them does all the talking and the other one doesn't do the talking, any talking, there's no reciprocation. If there's no, that's not going to last long. To be happily married, you have to interact with each other. And that's the way it is with the bride of Christ. You can't go for weeks and weeks without getting in the presence of the Lord. It don't work. Your experience dies down. So you have to get into His presence. And you have something that wants to, and that's why you do it. Because you love Him. Amen. He will always be found. He is the Word, and He will always be found in the Word. Amen. In other words, He'll always be found in His Word. And even if it's something that's not written in the Bible, if God is expressing it to you, He will still be found in His Word. Amen. In other words, if He speaks to you and says, don't be at a certain place tomorrow because there's going to be an explosion, then He's not going to tell you something like that if it's contrary to the Word. If the Word says He'll never speak that way, then He couldn't do that. But the Scripture says He will speak, He will lead, He will guide. And so what I'm saying is, I say that because people will say, well, I don't care what the Word says, I know what God spoke to me. And they'll do something contrary to the Word. I don't care. I'm like women preachers. I'm like, it plainly says right there. What happened when you read that and do you just jump across that and miss that? Why is that, you know? Well, I don't care what it says. I know what God said to me. Well, then it's not God because He can't be contrary to His Word. So what they try to do is make their experience right and the word wrong. Say, well, this is right, and that's what the Catholic Church does. Remember the Catholic Church? They're the mother of all of it. And all that trickles down into the rest of them. And the mother church has said, listen, it's not the word of God, it's what the church says. The church can change it, do whatever you want. It's not, brother, it's no, it's not. It's the word. And but they do it, and then all down in the denominations, when they have their own little dogmas and their creeds and their own little things, they say, ah, this is the truth. I know, but that's not what it means. That part wasn't inspired. We found out that wasn't inspired. They make all kinds of excuses up. In other words, saying that God cannot live and confirm his word, so they choose something else. Try to make him a powerless God. And that's what they do. And so he's always found his word. And so when he speaks, and I say it's a reciprocation between us and him, between you and God, that in that reciprocation, it'll always be found in the word. He will not have you off doing something contrary to the word. So we are not to just blindly follow whatever. We are to check our lives. We are to check our experiences with the word, because without his help, we will go into error. We must to be very, very, very sincere, and sincerity alone is not enough. Sincerity, but be humble and seek God for his help to keep us on the straight and narrow path. And so he's always found in his word. So we don't tell people, well, if you shout, you've got it. And Brother Graham said, we found out that a lot of them shouted and didn't have it. If you cry, you got it, but some of them cried and didn't have it. Yeah, I've seen it, right? You can cry from emotions. You cry if you went into clearinghouse or win the lottery or something. You'd cry, you know, people would. You say, oh, if you just, you get so excited in church, you take off running. Then you got it. You found God. Right? I've been in services where that's what they thought. Oh, you think if you can, like Brother Bram said, when the music's going strong and all the shouting and everything, but when the music stops, they stop. You know? So people get these ideas and like, well, it must be this way because this is what I like, or this is what I think God, this is my opinion, and it must be this way. You find out it's nothing but just idolatry. Amen. Some people think there's got to be a particular preacher. Oh, if you don't listen to him, then you're out. Some people think, oh, if the sermon's not long, God's not in it. It's got to be a long sermon. It's got to be. Got, you know, or some people might say, well, it was too long. That's too long of a sermon. See, it all just a bunch of man's ideas. Some people say, oh, you know, God's not in a quiet prayer. It's got to be loud, banging on the, and but it's not so. Right? Because, you know, Brother Graham said, your long prayer is not to be here in the church. Your long prayer is to be in your closet. That's where you pray and you do your long prayer. But you don't do that here in the church, right? That's what he said. See, I hope people are listening to the sermons to know that I'm telling you what he's saying, so you know that. You know, if you listen to that, you know question and answers and things like that are good to listen to because he covers things like that. Amen. So we're not trying to make God into an idol. And if we say, if we tell people that any of those things, shouting, crying, running, rejoicing, whatever, if you tell people you must have that or you didn't find God, then it's wrong. Those things are byproducts. They can, God can keep you rejoicing. You can shout, run, and all those things. We know that. But you can have those things and not have God. Because Brother Wren tells us that Satan can imitate any gift. Any gift that God has. Let me know that. Said Satan can imitate any gift. We don't want the gift. I mean, the gift is fine. We love that, right? But don't stop at the gift. We want the giver of the gift. And if I never have any of his gifts, but I have him, then that's all I need, right? But, and so, Satan can imitate all the gifts. And so he said, oh, if you've got the gift, then you got it. And I told you, back in Pentecost, I heard a woman standing here speaking in tongues one night and was trying to read a scripture about somebody killing somebody. And I found out the next day she was trying to go home and wanted to go home and kill her husband that night. and speaking in tongues while doing it. I'm serious. I could tell you the names, and some of you would know who she is. But was that God? Or was that a devil? You see what I'm saying? So if you say, oh, you go up there and you pray in tongues, you speak in tongues, that does not mean that you got where you need to be. Amen? Because Satan can imitate all those things. But there's something Satan cannot imitate. Brother Ram said he cannot be the Word. And you know, he can't be a creator. And God creates with his Word. It is his Word. Satan cannot be a creator. Satan cannot be the Word. He can imitate all this other stuff, all these different things, but he cannot be the Word. And so if there's a place that we want to seek, if there's something we want to seek after, we don't want to just say, I got the gift and I've got it. No, you want to get to the person of the gift. As long as you have the person of the gift in your life, then he'll correct you if you make mistakes, right? You don't want to have a man-made creed or dogma to be the thing that tells you whether or not you're right or wrong. You want a living God who lives in you and speaks in you and through you and reciprocates to you and shows you when you make mistakes and finding it in you, his Word, that it's always true. That's what you want. You want a living God like that. And so Satan cannot, he cannot be the Word, and he also cannot do what only the Word can do. And if you think about third pull, first pull, second pull, imitations, right? But the third pull, God said, you're not going to show that to nobody. And Brother Branham didn't, see. Something, and in that third pull was all, there was so much of the display of spoken word. So lying within that third pull in that spoken word realm is God, the only one who is a creator. That's a realm. He's drawing us up into that realm. And so in that realm goes beyond tongues and shouts and runs and gifts of the Spirit and all that. It brings us up into a realm where the Word is, the Creator, the creative force that can create us a new body that can do these things. That's what we seek after. It's okay to have these wonderful other things, great times, shouting, rejoicing, and all that. But don't let that be your God that you seek after. Don't come here and say, oh, I just want to feel a good time, a good song. You know, you come here surrendered to the Lord so that he might speak and live through you and draw you up closer to himself. That's what you want to come to the house of God for. Amen. Let me believe that. And so he cannot be the Word, and he cannot do what only the Word can do. Amen. May the Lord bless you. Our hearts just for a moment. Lord, we thank you for this little time of fellowship tonight around your Word. Just pray, God, that you would seal it away into the hearts of your people. Anything, Lord, that I may have said that they didn't understand, I pray that you would make clarity of it. I don't think that there's anything there, but Lord, if you would just make clarity of it for them, lead them and guide them, confirm in their lives, Lord, these things are truth. Lord, may they put feet on their prayers, put feet and action to the things that they desire in their walk with you. May they not just sit back and wait for you, but Lord, may they pursue you, seek after the manifestation of the living Word in their lives. It goes beyond these other things. We love you, Lord. You have demonstrated it to us in this day. We've seen it among us. We've seen it through this prophetic messenger that you sent. We've seen it, and we know it's here, and it's for us. So we pray, God, that you would just anoint us in such a way that we can pursue those things, and those things alone, Lord, that leads us to you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Small group, you've been very attentive tonight. Amen. Make it easy for a preacher to preach.
Lord.